All right, yesterday we left off at the bottom of Samach Amud Bet with the statement of Rava that by Neshech we can't have independent Neshech and Marbit. The two have to come hand in hand. The Loveh losing and the Malveh gaining are basically a fact that makes it into Ribit or Neshech. And therefore, this, why did the Torah use the word Neshech and Marbit? They're really, according to this Gemara, synonymous. Because Lavor Lav Bishnei Lavim. Now, is it really true? What the Gemara is going to discover here, is this really so straightforward that they are two Lavim? Why? So Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, it's three lines from the bottom, and Samach Amud Bet, Tanu Rabbanan, et kaspecha lo titen lo b'neshech, u'marbit lo titen ochulecha. So here the Gemara is quoting the Pasuk from Vayikra, Berach HaFei in Vayikra, and there the Pasuk divides up into two parts, which is, et kaspecha lo titen b'neshech, kaspecha meaning money, again you have neshech, which seems to indicate that the verb neshech, right, or the isur of neshech applies to monetary matters or money, and the isur of marbit applies to ochlecha, to foods. So if that's the case, then there really is a differentiation between neshech and marbit. So where it says, okay, so now I have ein li ela neshech bekesef, v'ribit be'ochel, neshech be'ochel minayim. How do I know that neshech also has application by ochel? So here the Gemara quotes another pasuk from Dvarim in Perachav Gimel in Dvarim. Pasuk says pasuk chav neshech ochel. There the pasuk says, I read you the whole pasuk. Lo tashich leachicha neshech kesef neshech ochel neshech kol davar sheishach. So there it clearly states that there is neshech associated with ochel. So if it's associated with ochel, then we have neshech with ochel and we have neshech with kesef. What are we missing? We're missing because we have marbit with ochel, but we don't have marbit with kesef. Mar says, well, that's no problem either. Ribit b'kesef minayin. How do I know we have marbit with kesef? Tamid lomar neshech kesef. In that pasuk in Dvarim, it has a long list. It says, lo tashich achicha. Then it says, neshech kesef, neshech ochel, and neshech kol davar sheishach. So this neshech kesef is extraneous or not necessary. Why? Either because the pasuk begins lo tashrich et achicha, so it wouldn't be necessary, or right, you could say lo tashrich et achicha neshech kesef is already mentioned in the pasuk back in Vayikra. So either way, neshech kesef is extraneous. If it's extraneous, then we say im einu l'inyan the neshech kesef shvar neramar lo tashrich et achicha. We don't need it for neshech kesef because we already have the pasuk saying lo tashrich et achicha, and we know Neshech is already, right, Shayach Yitzel Kesef. Tnei Ulinya, the Rebit Kesef, to teach us also by Kesef, there is a Sheikhut, or it's relevant to say Kesef and Marbit together. Now the Gemara says, Enli Ela Belove. Now, the Psukim that are found that we quoted, now one from Beikra and one from Dvarim, one of them is in the context, or is the Isur for the Loveh, and one of them is the Isur for the Malveh. Why it's in Vayikra says it's kaspecha lo titen lo b'neshech marbit lo titen ochlecha. So there, if you can't give your money with ribit, means that you can't, as a malveh, you can't give your money to be charged with interest, charge interest with your money. On the other hand, in Dvarim it says lo tashich leachicha, right? That is neshech kesef neshech ochel. You may not pay neshech to your friend neshech ochel neshech kesef. That's referring to the loveh. If you have that, in le'el b'loveh b'malveh minayin. How do I know that all of this is relevant to a malveh as well? Nemar neshech b'loveh, nemar neshech b'malveh. Both psukim have an extra word of neshech. Ma neshech amur b'loveh, lo chalak debo ben kesef ben ochel. Just like by a loveh, we make no differentiation between kesef and ochel, ben neshech ben ribit, or between neshech and ribit. Av neshech amur b'malveh, so too by malveh, right, in the pasukim vayikra, lo tachlok bo ben kesef ben ochel, ben neshech ben ribit. We're not going to differentiate at all. So if that's the case, what's the final line here? Minayin they're both kol davar. How do we know that everything's included in ribit? Tamid lomar neshech kol davar sheishach. Right, so all of the, everything's included, and Tosfos over here does a quick summary of how this whole limud works, because the pasuk in Dvarim has a number of things that we're learning from it. Number one, we're learning out that the neshech is shayach by ochel. Number two, we're learning out that ribit is shayach by kesef. Number three, we're learning out that everything that applies by loveh also applies to a malveh. And the fourth thing we're learning out from there is kol davar sheishach. Everything has sheichut to ribit. So you're learning four things out of this pasuk. And how do we learn many things? Where's the extraneous word? So this beginning of the Tosfos.
If you have the more saying that they're about to call the bar.
Right.
So what do you need? Kesef and Ochel. Call the bar is like already.
Right. It's all inclusive. Then what do you need?
Yeah. What did you just say in the beginning? Klal
Prat. Why do you need? Right. So yeah. Actually, it's the Tosfos Dan says it's a Klal Prat to Klal. That's exactly what Tosfos says in the end.
It's a
Klal Prat to Klal. Is that what you suggest?
Yeah.
Right, so if you do that, so we'll just do the Tosfos quickly. It does explain what the limudim are, and in the end, the answer asks the question, why do we need anything? If we have kol davar, why do you need anything? And Tosfos learns it as a klal u'pratu klal in the end. We'll read that in the Tosfos in 1 second. So that's it. Im, enu inyan, the neshev kesef, shkar ne'amar lotashich. It's the top Tosfos. Perish, afilu ilo kotov. Had it not written, elo lotashich l'achicha kesef ocha. The Pasuk could simply written, lotashich l'achicha kesef en ocha. Could have left out everything else. Habi Yadina, Neshech b'kesef. From that, we would have already known that Neshech has Sheikhut by Kesef, because it's Ketuv, Lo Tashich Lachicha, Kesef, Ve'Ocha. So now we have Neshech, both by Kesef and by Ocha. Right now, what else? Now we have extra words. V'Katav, Lo Tashich Lachicha, Neshech, Kesef, Ochel. Had it just written, right, Lo Tashich Lachicha, Neshech, Kesef, Ve'Ochel. Add the extra word Neshech. Aviyadina nami rebit kesef. That word neshech comes to teach us about rebit by kesef. Ochel bim enu inyan. Veneshech ochel ati legzer shavu. And the word of neshech ochel here, which is extraneous, that comes to teach us the gzer shavu. Veneshech kol davar ati leukme neshech bimalveh, malveh, bim enu inyan legoveh. And that applies to a malveh. If it's not shayach to the malveh, it will be shayach also to the malveh. So Tosfos takes each of the words, each section here, and teaches us how you could have written the pasuk without, you could have started out, lot tashich l'achicha, ochel, and kesef, and nothing else. So now, if I start writing neshech ochel and neshech kesef, both of those are extraneous. One comes to teach me that kesef is shayach by repeat. One of them comes to tell me that there's a gzera shava between neshech neshech, right? That it's relevant here. Alright, so now, once we've done that, to the question, your question, v'im tomar, right? So skipping down, it's about where the Hagosu Gra is in the Gemara, on the side there. V'im tomar, kem dechtim kol davar, afilu rabot etzim v'avanim, im kem kesef ochel lamali. What do I need any of these, why do I need any of these pratim if I already have an all-inclusive term? You skip a couple of lines there, and he says, Esh midrash klal uprat tu klal. Lo tashich klal, kesef ochel prat, kol davar chazar klal, ma prat mifurash davar mitaltel b'gufo mamo, yatsu karkaot, she'en mitaltelin, v'yatsu pachot misheve pruta, she'enu mamon. That's what Tosfos creates this klal uprat tu klal. Right, karkaot are excluded. And no, so Tosfos says Avadim are included. That's what the rest of that Tosfos says. I don't get that. Maybe that Avadim will include, even though they're Shayach Lekarka, and here they may not have the same. But that it might be Shayach, Ribit might be Shayach by an Avid here, even though generally they're Domeh or Shaveh Lekarka, here won't apply. Alright. Now we're going to continue in the Gemara. So now Ravina suggests an alternative answer here. Ravina says that lo neshech ba'ochel v'lo ribit u'kesef tzrichei krach. All this that the Brisa just did, that it required the pasuk from Devarim to teach us all this information, we don't need that at all. Why? Because the pasuk in Vayikra lacks parallel structure. Why is that? Because the pasuk should have written dichtiv et kasbecha lo titen lo b'neshech v'ochlocha lo titen lo b'marbit, so that it should have written in a consistent manner that the kesef and the ochel should be the first words in the pasuk, and then lo titein should refer to neshech and lo titein marbit. That's not what the pasuk reads. How does the pasuk read? Okay, that marked. We will need sukim like you said to learn it out. Hashadichtiv et kaspecha lo titein beneshech umarbit lo titein ochlecha. In the ratio and the seif of the pasuk, the beginning and end of the pasuk are not parallel. They flip the order in which the object of the verb and the subject or the verb itself are reversed over here, depending on what you think neshech and marbit are, but they're flipped. And when you flip them, now what happens? You have them juxtaposed. You have neshech and marbit juxtaposed in the pasuk. So if that's the case, guess what we can do? Even though, right, honestly, there's an esnachta there, And you should read the pasuk atikach, right? Et kasim cholitz den lo b'neshech, period, or comma. Umarbi lo titen ochlecha. What is he going to do? Right? Ravina is going to say, read the two neshech and tarbi together with both sides of the pasuk. So that's what he's going to say. Ravina says, lo titen ochlecha kari bei hachi. Et kasim cholitz lo titen lo b'neshech ubemarbit. And ubeneshech marbit lo titen ochlecha. Right, you can read Neshech Marbit because of their juxtaposition and the lack of parallel structure in the pasuk. That comes to teach us that you read both Neshech and Tarbit with Ochel and with Kesef. Where it says, Vaha Tana Nemar Nemar Kamar. Wait, now, how does Ravina say such a thing when the Braisa specifically quotes Psukim to prove the point? Whether Neshech is Shaykh by Ochel or whether Ribit is Shaykh by Kesef, they quote specific Psukim. How could Ravina argue? So you say, well, they're just different limudim. So Rashi says the problem is that Ravina is an Amora, the Braisa is a Tana, and here Ravina is coming up, making a new, he has a new limud that's not found in the Braisa. How's he arguing on a Braisa? Well, it says, Achi Kamar. This is what he means. Ilu nem lo nemar kra, had there been no pasuk, hayiti omer gzera shava. In Ochanami, if the pasuk in Vayikra was not written in the manner that it is, meaning that it was parallel structure, you need the limudim, the gzer shav, and all the limudim from the braisa. Achshav shav shenemar kra, now that you have the pasuk, is written in not a parallel structure, we can learn it out from the pasuk of Vayikra, gzer shav lo tzarich. We don't need the gzer shav. So the braisa is an if. If we hadn't had the ability to learn it from the pasuk of Vayikra, we could learn it anyway from gzer shav. Right, but now that we do have the pasuk of Vayikra, we don't need the gzer shav. So that means, what do we do with the gzer shav? Next question, the Gemara. Right, Alexer Shava Lamali. What do I need Alexer Shava for? Neshach kol davar ashe yishach teloktav k'tiv b'malveh. That was the last thing that Tosa said. That what? That kol davar is included only by the loveh, but not by the malveh. So I need Alexer Shava to teach me that kol davar applies not only by the right by the loveh, but also applies to the malveh. That was the last thing that Tosu said above. That Tosu says that all the unnecessary parts of the pasuk come to teach us something. So that's what Uneshech the final part, Kol Davar Sheishach, which is at the end of the pasuk, that teaches us not only Kol Davar, but teaches us Kol Davar Nashech, and then the Gzer Sheva teaches that and takes that over to the Malveh as well. Okay, Amar Rava, Lama Li Dichtav Rachman Alav Beribit, Lav Begezel, Lav Beona'ah. Why do I need three separate lavim, Begezel, Ona'ah, and Ribit? They're all the same thing. They're all taking what doesn't belong to you. Causing a loss to someone else. Right, here you are, causing a loss to someone else. Why should you differentiate in the Torah between these manifestations of causing a loss to someone else? So of course, each of them has a unique aspect, which is what the Gemara is going to say. Tzrichi. Dika darchman ala biribit. Had I just written it by libit, I wouldn't be able to learn out on gezel why mitzshum dechidushu. There's a chidush in ribit. Da'pilu beloveh asra. So that by Rachmana, the Torah also asks the loveh. So over here, by Ribit, it's unusual. Ribit, the issur is not only on the Malveh, the lender, who's the one who's causing the loss, it's even on the Loveh, who pays the interest. So that's a huge kiddush. Maybe that's why there's a lav by Ribit. Because there's a responsibility by both parties, even though there's no loss. But we couldn't say by Gezel, no, we can't say that. Because of Rahman Allah, Gezel, Mishum Dubal Kochei, which is right, Gezel. You take against the will, but in Ona and Ribit, Aval Ona, Aim alone. By Ona we can't learn out. Why? Because Ona is a willing transaction. We are both parties to the transaction. Vikar HaRachman Allah be'Ona, had it written by Ona, Mishum to lo yodo de mochil. Right, so but he doesn't know to be mochil on it. As opposed to that by Gzela and Ribit, the person, right, can know and be mochil. So for instance, by Ribit, the Loveh and the Malveh are both aware of what's going on, and the Loveh still allows the transaction to go through, so it's clear that he is Mochel, quote-unquote, on this. And by Gezel, even though he's not Mochel up front, because it was taken from him against his will, but in the back end, he could be Mochel. Why? Because he's aware of the fact that it was stolen from him. Once he's aware that it's stolen from him, he can be Mochel. Problem by Ona is that he doesn't know if it's overcharged. And once he also knows it's overcharged, there is no transaction, right? The transaction falls apart. There's bitul mekach. So now, Gemara says, chadami chadalatzi. We can't learn one from the other. Teite chadami tarte. Let's choose two in order to learn.
I still don't understand. Mishum delayadu demachel.
Right?
I don't understand Rishon Goliath Mach. There's only a nah if the Lokeh comes back within the time that he can ask and find out.
No, that's only that he gets Heshavon. That doesn't mean there's no Isra on nah. Isra on nah is not just because you pass the time. When you pass the time, it's Mechila, and therefore there's no need to return the money anymore. That doesn't mean you did not violate the Isra on nah. Especially according to Ramban. Ramban, you violate Isra on nah everywhere, even below Ashtut. But I'm saying, even according to the other Rishonim, if you say below Ashtut there is no Anah, but above Ashtut, even if the guy doesn't get it back from you, still there's Isra on nah. Right, so now, so Teite Chade Mitarte, Hi Teite, what should we learn? Lo Dichtov Rachman Allah Beribit, but Teite Mehanach. Let's not write Ribit, and we'll learn out from Gezel and Onah. So Mala Hanach Shekein Shalom Midat. Right, that both of those are Shalom Midat. What does that mean? Because here, Ribit is a agreed upon transaction, whereas even though Omna'ah is in a case where there is a transaction that's agreed upon, the overcharging is not agreed upon. So if that's the case, it's Shalom Midat. He's not aware of being overcharged. And by Gezel, of course, you're not a party to the transaction because he took it from you against your will. So that we can't use as the limud. So Tamar v'ribit, mitate, how could you say about ribit, where he knows that he's paying the ribit? So lo lichtov rachman Allah be'ona'ah. So let's leave that ona'ah. Take the anach. We'll learn now from Gezel and ribit. That's not a transactional, right, interaction. Meaning that when it comes to ribit and when it comes to gezel, they're not transactions. Right? Those are, one's a loan and one is theft. Onah comes about because of a transaction. That will come along the lines of, I think that maybe what you said, sheyesh b'nei adam shetzrichim lechefetz kodem biyotam mishavyo. Person needs something, they want to buy it, they pay more. So that is mekach u'memkar. It's mekach u'memkar, maybe that's not considered gezel, so we can't learn it that way. Ela lo lechtov rachman ala b'gezel. Why don't we just leave out gezel? V'teite mehanach, and we'll learn out from Onah and ribit, and the Gemara says, okay, you can do it. Demai parach, what are you going to ask? Mala ribit, ken chidush. Ribit a chiddush because the loveh is involved. Onah tochiach. Onah can prove the other way around because by onah you still are chayav, even though only the me'aneh is chayav. Malo onah shekein lo yada umachil. Right. So what are you gonna say? By onah he doesn't know to be mochel on it. Ribit tochiach. Ribit a chiddush where he does know, and even when he knows, we say that there is still an isur. Because we're doing lo reizek reizev lo reizek reizev atzar sheveshven shekein goes low. He's taking what doesn't belong to him. Avani be gezel. I'll include gezel. Gemara says, okay, imre achanami, eno achanami. You're right. El alab gezel lovely. There's still an Easter in the Torah called lo tigzol. What are you going to do with lo tigzol if you find you greatly mood, you figured it out, you can get it from onah ribit? What are you going to do with gezel? Gezel's unnecessary. Why does it write lo tigzol? It says lo kovesh schar sechir. Someone withholds wages. What do you mean withhold wages? Kovesh sachar sechir be'ejyptim be. It's an explicit pasuk in Dvarim. Lo tashok sechir. Right? Lo tashok sechir ani ve'evyon. Well, we have lo tashok. You have a restriction against withholding wages. What do you need another restriction for? Where it says, lavor lavishtein lavim. To have two lavim by lo tashok. Now, obvious question is, why take it out of context? Why did you just say we two lavim by nigzal? Gezel you learn out from a Kal V'chomer, and Gezel you learn out from a Lo Tigzol. Let there be Shnei Lavin by Lo Tigzol. Why do you have to take Lo Tigzol and make it Lo Tashok, and then say two Lavin by Lo Tashok? Just make it two Lavin by Lo Tigzol. Somebody says, V'lukma, or Lukma Berbit Vona, or... What? Yeah, I know, I asked the question's questions now. V'lukma Berbit Vona. I set it up with ribit and onah. Also, you could use the lo tigzol to say there's a double lab by ribit and onah. But lo avishnei davim, davar lamid minyano. No, because where's lo tashok written? It is written binyana teschir ktiv. Why? Because what does it say in the pasuk? It says in vayikra. Vayikra in pasuk yigimah vayikra. It says lo tashok et reyacha velo tigzol. So therefore, lo tashok is written in the pasuk of lo tigzol. It must be that the lo tigzol is reference or part of lo tigzol. Now, we have other issues here. One is which is what I raised, which is that why don't you say two lavim by lo tigzol? The other issue is why don't we say that there's a problem over here of ein unshin min adin or ein unshin min adin? But generally, you have a principle. You're not allowed to learn out punishments or aznarot from a kal v'chomer. Over here, you're suggesting the lav of gezel would be learned out from a kal v'chomer. So Tosfos asks, the last Tosfos on the Yomut asks, Im tomar look me begezel gufei v'lo avor alav b'shnei labim. Why don't you just make a gezel gufei and open up? Yesh lomar v'shum to lo loti alav de gezel v'shum de nitak v'yaseh. We wouldn't do such a thing because gezel doesn't have malchus. So there's no value in creating two lavim by gezel. Why is there no value? Because it's a lav nitak v'yaseh. A lav nitak v'yaseh means that there's a way, the Torah gives you a way to rectify the lav. A lav nitak v'yaseh doesn't get malchus. So adding on lavim by a lav nitak v'yaseh does nothing because the lav, another lav of gezel, that's another lav nitak v'yaseh that can be rectified through the assay. The time we want more lavim is when that will generate a larger punishment or a larger, right, outcome or a problem for the individual who violates it. That's true when you have multiple lavim and you get malchus for it. So that's not the case here. If it, the other question Tosfos asked, back, it's in the Tosfos of Imre Hachanami, Bim Tomar, In Mazhirin Minadin. How could you do that over here? Vyesh Lamar, the Gezel Lamani Tak Lasehu. So therefore, it's not considered Mazhirin Minadin. So it's the same answer for both. The reason you can learn out Gezel from a Kal B'chomer is because in the end, it is, there's no Onesh. There is no Malchus because it's a Lamani Tak Lasehu. So therefore, you can learn out of a Kal B'chomer. Number two, why don't we double up the Lav by Gezel? Because it's a lav nitak v'yaseh, doubling up the lav gives you no additional value, it doesn't help you in any way. What you want to double the lav is when there's some sort of practical outcome from doubling the lav, that is that you get multiple malchus. So therefore we take the lo tigzol and we say it only, we try either to learn from lo tashok, which is the Gemara's answer, or from oma and ribit, which would give you malchut, additional malchut in those areas. Alright. Now, the Gemara continues. Alright, while we're on this topic here, what are you going to do with Lo Tignovu now? Fine. You need Ona, Revit, that's just Lo Tignovu. Why can't I learn Lo Tignovu also from them? Why do I need a separate Lo Tignovu? So Mary says, Lo Tignovu, Dichtov Rachmana, Lamele. What do I need Lo Tignovu for?
It's interesting, the whole structure is that we did the Tzrichudu with the three, and then we deal with the three. And
yeah, I was like, jumps in with Lo Tignovu, yeah.
We put the Lo Tignovu together with the other three and ask the
right. I don't know why. I also thought it was pretty obvious why Lo Tignov. The Gemara doesn't say it, but because of Kefil. It's a chiddush by Lo Tignov of Kefil. So without the pasuk telling you of Lo Tignov that you're chayav Kefil, we're needed. Although, I think maybe the Gemara's question is Lo Tignovu, why do I need Azara? Because Lo Tignovu Kefil is learned out from the Parshiot by Shoma Chinam, Shoma Sachar, a little before that in Mishpatim. Here, Lo Tignovu is also mentioned in Parshiot Kedoshim, which is Lo Tignovu, Lo Tichashu, Lo Tishakru, Ish B'yom Mito. So there, Lo Tignovu is not referring to Kefil. It's the Azhara. It's the warning of Lo Tignovu. Rashi makes it clear, we're not talking about Lo Tignovu in the Serta Dibrot. That is for, right, Gonev Nefashot. So we're talking about this Lo Tignovu that's found in Vayikra, in Kedoshim. What do you do with this Lo Tignovu? So that's what Gemara asks over here. Tara Rabban Alamu, the Tanya, we need for the Braisa. Lo Tignov Amata Mekat. Lo, or it's really should be, Lo Tignovu Amanat Mekat. Lo Tignovu Amanat Lashalem. Tashlume Kefil. You may not steal, even if it's just to cause the other person a tsar, pain. You're not intending to steal it. You just want to see him suffer a little bit. So that's also asur. Lo tignova amanat l'shalem tashlumei kefel. Even if you are willing to pay kefel, and you steal it in order to pay kefel, say, you want to be mefarnes l'ani. So, but you want to do it at derech kavod. So you steal something, but if you can beg it back kefel, great idea. The Torah says, no, even if you take it, even if you steal in order to pay kefel, lo tignova, you can't steal. Alright, so Amalei Rav Yemar the Ravashi. Lav Tichtav Rachmana Mishkalot Lomalei. Alright, while we're at this topic, right, all of these are subsets of stealing, of taking what doesn't belong to you, hurting others by taking their money. So now we have an Isur by Mishkalot, which says, Lo Tasu Avel Mishpat Mida Mishkal Misura. How could you have a, why do you need a separate lav to teach me about cheating in weights or measurements? And that I could have known that from Lo Tigzol. It says, Amalei Rav Ravashi, Lav Tichtav Rachman Mishklot Lamali. Amalei L'Tumein Mishklotav B'Melach. That the person sticks salt into his weights in order to make them weigh more. It says, I know Gezel Mal Yehu. That's regular Gezel. So Lavor Lav Mishat Asiya. So this is the Chiddush here, what? That you're over, even before you use those weights, if you place salt in the weights and you intend to use them, you're over the Isur. before you even get to any, before you've stolen a dime, the mere fact that you create such an object that can be used to trick others, that is a violation of the lav already of mishkalot. That's what we said before. If you remember earlier in the Gemara, you weren't allowed to leave around a coin, even by mishkalot, that would be misused because, right, that's the problem. Even b'shat asiyah, having something that could allow somebody to cheat, is when mishkalot, where you, obviously your intention is to cheat, already then you violate the law by of mishkalot, lo tasu avu b'mishpat. To violate the b'shat asiyah, over here, you're in violation as soon as you create such an object that can be used to cheat others. That's a problem. A problem to create objects that allow others to cheat. Then Rabbanan, lo tasu avu b'mishpat, b'midah mishkal u'misira. So now already, where it says, while we're on topic, let us work out what these mean. What's the difference between midah, mishkal, misura? B'midah, zu mididat karka. That's measuring land. That's measuring area. Area, why? Shelo yimdod l'achad b'midat hachama, l'achad b'midat hagshamim. So they use a string. When they measure area, they use the string. In the wind, in the summertime, it's very dry. The string is tight. Because of the dryness, it becomes tighter. And then in the wintertime, when you use the same string, the moisture causes the string to expand. So because of that, if you measure, say you're supposed to split a field between two parties. So one of them you measure for in the winter, and one you measure in the summer. So that's not fair, because you're measuring at when the string is going to be of a different length. You have to measure at equal times or equal seasons in order that the measurement be equivalent. Now, what is that? What is the mishkal? Mishkal is weight. That's what we discussed above. Can't put salt into your weights. Umisura shelo yartiach. Do not sell something when it's hot. What does it mean when it's hot? Say the wine or water, if you boil them or if you heat them up, they expand. So when it expands, it takes up more space in the barrel. So first you say, I'm saying a barrel's worth of wine. It's hot, so it's at the top. Guy gets home, all of a sudden he looks inside, it's cooled off, and he's got only 3/4 of a barrel. So it says you're not allowed to sell something while it's still hot, while it's still in the expanded form. You have to wait for it to contract to its regular state, and in that state you can sell it. But it's called cheating if you heat it up.
It's like the opposite when you freeze something.
Only water. Water, the density of water is higher, not by other objects. Alright. Hello! Maybe
he translates it over here, not that it's hot, but that you throw it in the chosek, so that it creates a lot of ketzef, it creates a lot of foam.
Bubbling.
So, yeah. So if you pour it in, it's like pouring someone a glass of Coke really quickly, so that it...
Right,
the
fizz,
take your
glass.
Take your glass.
When they fill up the Coke cup, 80% of ice.
Does he translate? I mean, the law is a rashi of ushkuma. Ashkuma is ketzef.
So that's good.
Don't get it too foamy.
Yeah, foamy. It's foam. That's true because the artiach is used by wine. That's tosis. That it comes out of the. It's bubbling out of the gut. So they use the term artiach there. But there, it's true that it's bubbling, but it's also, I think, warm also. It happens to be that it's both, that it happens to be warm and bubbling, but I think the idea is the same. I mean, if you translate it as yartiach being foam or bubbling, and you change yartiach as heating, it's that there's some false capacity or volume that is placed in there. All right. Valo, dvarim, kal v'chomer. Right? Isn't it a kal v'chomer? Uma mishura, so it'll be mishura, I'm sorry, thank you. Ma mishura, shi echad mishloshim bilug. Even the smallest measurement, the Torah is really machpir alav. Torah kal v'chomer lehin v'chatzihin u'shlishitin u'rviyitin v'log v'chatzilog u'rviyitalog. All these are much greater volumetric measures, right? And therefore, if the Torah is already makpid with a small measure of a misura, then certainly in all these larger measures, the Torah is going to be upset if you're cheating in these measures. So Amar Rava, lomalei ktav rachman yitziyah mitzrayim b'rivit, yitziyah mitzrayim b'mitzitzit, yitziyah mitzrayim b'mishkelot. So why? By tzitzit, it says, right, we know that we say every morning. That's why, how we have we are yotzei, right? Maskirim, yitzit, mitzrayim, kol yom, or yotzei through the parsha of tzitzit. Now, in the pasuk of Neshech and Ribit, it says, in Vayikra, ani Hashem lokeichem, asher hotzeiticha me'eretz Mitzrayim, atein lechem et eretz Kanaan, ne'ot lechem elokim. That's the concluding pasuk, right after it, kasvacha lo tzitzenu b'neshech, u'b'marbit lo tzitzenu ochlecha. And then by the last case which we just discussed, which is we have tzitzit, we have ribit, and mishkelot. By mishkelot it says, lo tasu avel b'mishpat, midam mishkal u'misura, mosnei tzedek, avnei tzedek, eifa tzedek, v'hin tzedek yelachem, ani, shem lukeichem, asher tzeititchem, meretz Mitzrayim. So why are these yisurim associated with yitziyat Mitzrayim, as opposed to any other yisur? Other Isurim, why don't they suggest that Hashem Tov is trying to keep the Isur? What is unique about these three? So that's what Gemara is trying to explain here. Gemara says, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ani Hu Shibchanti B'Mitzrayim Ben Tipa Shal B'chor L'Tipa Shein Shal B'chor. In Mitzrayim, I differentiated Kachut HaSeara between a B'chor and not a B'chor. I mean that I knew, even though, say that a woman had, was Mezaneh with multiple men, and she had numerous babies, but all those babies were B'chorim. Why? Because they were born of, firstborn to all these husbands. Who can tell that? The only one who can know that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Hashem says, I in Mitzrayim was able to determine exactly who was a Bechor. Ani hu she'atid li'pora mimishu toleh mo'utav b'nachri u'malveh utam li'Yisrael b'ribit. I will also take retribution from someone who claims that he is lending on behalf of a non-Jew. He's lending with ribit on behalf of a non-Jew, which is, non-Jews are permitted to charge interest to Jews, right? And one is permitted to charge interest to a non-Jew. The only time interest is not permitted is between Jew to Jew. So now over here, what is it? The Jew says to his fellow Jew, I'm lending you money with interest for this because if the money belongs to this non-Jew. But in the end, what is the truth? The truth is it really belongs to him, to the Jew. So I will differentiate. I will know who really told the truth and who didn't tell the truth about this. Also someone who puts salt into his weight. Again, something that is not discoverable. I am, so Hashem says in the end, I'm the one who determined him, it's Ryan. I will also make sure I know who puts salt in their weights, and I know who does not put salt in their weights. Right, so now, also, I can differentiate between someone who's wearing tzitzit. The person who's wearing tzitzit, right, can either have tchelet, or the Gemara mentions in Menachot, other places, that kala ilan was a good forgery or fake of tchelet. Right, so that it was good, and it was great because it was much cheaper. So since there's a cheaper alternative to tchelet, everybody, or not everybody, but people used it in order to trick people into believing that there was tchelet. So Gemara says, in the end, it's hard to tell the difference between kala ilan and tchelet. The Gemara has some tests that you can do to see whether the color takes hold. In tchelet, it does, by kala ilan doesn't, but it's very complex. Not everybody can perform these tests. And not everybody who's wearing, which sounds like the Gemara, if you're wearing your own tzitzit, and you put in kala ilan instead of tchelet, you can trick everybody else into thinking that you're wearing tchelet, that you're wearing tzitzit, but in the end, Hashem knows the truth. Because otherwise it seems a little inconsistent. The first two cases are where you're causing losses to others, right? By mishkelot and by the ribit, right? Both of those cases, you're causing someone else to lose money. You're causing a deficit to another person. Therefore, Hashem says, I will mavchin. The last case, by tzitzit, it's your own problem. You're cheating yourself. You're saying about yourself that, what? That I'm wearing tchelet. When you know you're wearing kala ilan. So you have to say that it's in reference to others. Others people seeing you wearing tchelet or you wearing tzitzit. So other people are machshiv yoah, he wears tchelet, he wears tzitzit. They look at you as being a person who wears tzitzit with tchelet. And you are. So Hashem says, I'll be mafchin between those who put kala ilan and tchelet. That they're trying to trick others and make them think they're wearing tzitzit. But otherwise, it's harder to say what the consistency is in the three cases of here.
Then he wants to sell the beged.
What?
You can say then he wants to sell the beged as if it has tzitzit.
Yeah, but here it's bibigdo. It says bibigdo.
And then he goes and sells it.
All right. That's already another assumption that he's doing it. You're right. Okay, you can create that case, but that means that's not bigdo anymore. It's that he has a beged that he's going to sell. All right.
You can only sell your beged. You can't sell someone else's beged.
Correct.
That's an extra word.
I would just say, Mishu Mocher Kala Ilan, and not Tchelet, right? I mean, not Mocher Begedim, Tchelet, and Kala Ilan, Lo Beged. The fact that he's
going to they have Rosh Kasa, the Vadir Gemar Bokhan Acher, Shem Duber, Shem Tola Kala Ilan, Beged, Mocher Lacherim.
There you go. All right, so the Rosh. There you go, Tzvi, thank you. The Rosh tells us that Big Do here is that he tends to sell it, and that's why there's a loss for us to someone else, so I appreciate it. Thank you. Ravina, Iklul Surah de Prat. Ravina went to Surah de Prat, which is as opposed to regular Surah. This is Surah on the Prat. Amalei Rav Chanina mi Surah de Prat, and this is Rav Chanina from Surah de Prat, not regular Chanina, Rav Chanina. Ravina, Yitziyat Mitzrayim dektob Rachmana gabe Shvatzim lomali. Why is Yitziyat Mitzrayim mentioned by Shvatzim? So you find a passage that's in Parshat Shmini. It says in end of Parshat Shi, Al Shakshu Nafshu Techem Shkola Sheretz Haaretz. There's a pasuk about kedusha, and it says, "Ki ani Hashem amaleh etchem mi'eretz Mitzrayim." So why do you have this? You see, Mitzrayim mentioned by Shkatzim, Ramashim, and all these creepy crawly things. So Amar Lei, Amar Kosh Baruch Hu, Anishu Tchanti Ben Tzipa Shel Bechor, Tzipa Shel Shel Bechor, Ani Nita Atid Yipara Mimi Shimarev, Kirvei Dagim Tmeim, Bekirvei Dagim Torim. Someone who mixes, right, innards of the fish, I don't know, some fish brine or fish innard mixtures, but he uses some kosher fish and some non-kosher fish. Umachran Yisrael and sells them to a Jew. So Amar Lei, Ana Hamalek Hakashli. You know, I knew that stuff already. I don't need you to tell me why it's talking about Mitzrayim, what it means about Mitzrayim means. When it mentions Mitzrayim, it always means that you're trying to trick someone else, trying to deceive someone else, and Hashem says, I will be Mavchin, I will know the truth. But he says, this is my problem. Why does it say Hama'aleh? Everywhere else it says, Hashem Otzeiti Etchem Me'eretz Mitzrayim. By Ishkatim it says, right, Hama'aleh Etchem Me'eretz Mitzrayim. What is the verb Ma'aleh instead of Otzeiti used in this instance? Ma'ishna Och Hama'aleh Tiftav Rachmanu. I'm like the Tana of Rabbi Shmuel. That is, we have from the Tana of Rabbi Shmuel, the Tana of Rabbi Shmuel, the debate of Rabbi Shmuel. Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu Malay Lo Heleiti Et Yisrael Mitzrayim Elo Bishvil Davar Zeh Sheinu Mitamim B'Shvatzvim Die Dayai or Die. It's enough. It's enough for me. If they just don't need Shkatzim and they're not Mitamei by them, that would be enough for me. That was one of the Ikarim of taking them out of Mitzrayim, that they don't eat these things that are Dvarim Ma'usim, right? These awful, disgusting things. That's enough for me to take him out of Mitzrayim. Amalei, umi nafish ha'grayu tvei miribit umitzitit umishkalot. You're indicating here, that means that their reward should be greater than these other three items. I mean, amalei seems to indicate that that is an important, such an important item, that it's a fundamental reason that they were taken out of Mitzrayim. So is that better than tzitzit? Better than ribit? Better than... Right, to Mishkalot. Amalei, Afgal Delo Nafisha Grayu Tvei Miisi LeMechlinu. So even though they don't have a greater reward, their eating of them is so detrimental or so bad that therefore it's worthwhile taking them out of Mitzrayim. So in the end, the other mitzvot might be bigger mitzvot, or they might garner you more reward, but a baseline, if you want to ensure that someone is, right, coming out of Mitzrayim, it's not ma'us anymore, it's not going to be tamei anymore, then you have to ensure that he doesn't eat the shkatzim ramashim. So it becomes a fundamental mitzvah, even though it's not as great a reward as the other mitzvot, because without it, you can't get to the next step. Because then you're ma'us and tamei, and then the other mitzvot won't be relevant. All right, now, Gemara continues. Vezu tarbit, marbe b'peirot, k'deitza lakach menu chitim b'nyar zahav. Where it says, Atu kohani darmina rehashto lav ribitu. Everything we said until now is not ribit. So if you look back at the Mishnah says, Ezu neshech. Then it lists you a case of, he lent four dinarim and he gets five back. Or he lets tayin chitim, he's getting three back. So, also with Mishnah Oshich. Now, Ezu tarbit. Then Mishnah begins with ribit. So you say to me, whatever happened before is not ribit? Is that really the case? Atu kohani darmina rehashto lav ribitu. I'm right about one kind. And especially given that, right, then it would be more even bigger a question. Why does the Mishnah even divide them up? Or why does the Mishnah only say Ezu Nesha from the beginning? She Ezu Neshka Bitarbit. Right? So why does it divide? Somebody about Adkan Shel Torah, Mikan Melech Shel Divrehem. This is, by the way, this has been an underlying assumption in the Gemara all along. That was the first question of the Gemara yesterday, which is Doraisa and Dirabanan. That Ezu Neshech is describing an Isur Doraisa, and Ezu Tarbit is describing Isur Dirabanan. So it's actually a fiction that the Mishnah creates by dividing between Neshech and Tarbit. They divide between Neshech and Tarbit not because Neshech and Tarbit are different, but they're using Neshech to indicate the Raisa and they're using Tarbit to indicate the Rabbanan. But not that one is applicable in one place and not in the other. Just, that's an easy way for them to differentiate. Chena Marova, Adkan Shel Torah, Mikan Melech Shel Divrehem. Adkan, it's very difficult. There's no pasuk. The Gemara quotes here, there's no pasuk like this that exists. In Yov. What is written in Yov is Yachin v'tzadik yobash. The tzadik, Yachin, which seems to be not clear there, that the Yachin, who prepares, and it's tzadik yobash, the tzadik will wear it. So the Gemara's drasha is Yachin rasha v'yobash tzadik. That the Gemara is filling in basically the missing factor here, the missing subject of the verb, which is Yachin rasha. Rasha will prepare, v'tzadik yobash. What does that mean? That the Rasha will do all sorts of bad things and have money, and then he'll pass it down to his children, and his children will be able to benefit from that money without violating the Isur. So this person who collected ribit, who collects interest from people, which is illegal, right, and violates the Isur, The person who does it is a malish and isur. What happens if they come around afterwards, he passes away, they come to the children and say, give us back the ribbit? It says, you don't have to do that, because the Rasha created it, that's their father, but the children, the tzaddikim, don't have to return it. So that's what it means, that the Yechid the Rasha, Yubat Tzaddik. Now, Gemara says, Adkan, what does it mean, Adkan? Adkan, Yechid Rasha, Yubat Tzaddik. Adkan, Betugo. So the Gemara is suggesting now that only the first part of the Mishnah, Ezur Neshech, has this principle that the children do not have to return it, and that the father, who's a Rasha, passes it to the children. When he dies, children don't have to return it. I said the Tugo, the second half of the mission is not the case also. Ella afilu adkan yachin rasha v'ilbas tzadik. Meaning that even the first cases in the Mishnah, where it's ribit k'tutza, it's ribit d'oraisa, and it's so clear that he's cheating them, even in that case, when it goes down to his children, they don't have to repay it. That's the ultimate money laundering is dying. So that's how you can pass the money to the kids, and once the kids have the money, they're not obligated to return it. Mar says another differentiation. Ad kan ribit k'tutza, mikan melech aviyach ribit, which is similar to what we said before, that it's deoraisa versus derabanan. That the first part of the mission is ribit k'tutza. It's defined and absolute ribit. You give them four and you expect five back. Give them two, you expect three back. In those cases, it's clear that you're charging more. But the case mikan melech, the second part of the mission is all avak ribit. It has a smack of ribit, but it's not really ribit because he lent it produce. And he was willing to take produce back, the same amount of produce back. So if that's the case, there's no, right, real ribit. It's all avak ribit. It looks like ribit, it feels like ribit because the market price has changed. That's all avak ribit or did the rabbanan. Amar Rav Elazar, ribit kutusa yotza b'dayanim. That a ribit, absolute ribit, ribit d'oraita can be taken in court and you can remove it or extract it. Avak ribit enu yotza b'dayanim. On the other hand, avak ribit will not be able to be taken out in court. Or be able to claim in court. Yochanan says, even Ribit Kutza cannot be taken out in court. Courts have no jurisdiction over these matters. So Amar Rabbi Yisrael, my time to Rabbi Yochanan. Why does Rabbi Yochanan believe that? The courts don't have jurisdiction over the areas of Ribit Kutza. So Amar Kura, Pasuk says, Vaneshech Natan V'tarbit Lakach. So it's describing somebody who didn't do the right thing, didn't keep stakal mishpat, tzedek mishpat. So what does he do? This person, neshech natan, he lent out with neshech, v'tarbit lakach, and he took back, right, hordes of money, collected, repeat. V'chaylo yechyeh, he will not live. Et kol ha'tavoyot ela asa, he said all these bad things. He said all these bad things, and he will not live. So Mar says, the mitan itan, v'lo lihishavon. So that's the understanding of the pasuk in Yechezkel, is not that there's an obligation to return the item, or that courts have obligation or jurisdiction over the matter. It's telling what's going to happen to such an individual. That individual who lends in this manner will die. Rather, Bahavar Amar Kura, he says, no, Rabbi Yochanan simply much from here. Al tikach miito, neshech mitarbit, v'yareita me'elokecha. L'morani tan v'lo leishavon. Again, that neshech mitarbit, the isur is subject to Yirat Hashem, but not subject to returning. Varamar b'gufei the crush me. We're going to have from the pasuk itself. It says motumat damo bo yet. It's a continuation of the pasuk in Yechezkel. It says motumat davo damo bo yet. Right, he will die, and he'll basically takes his blood in his own hands by doing this because he's charging ribit. Hashem will come out and punish him. Hukshu malvei ribit l'shofchei damim. The Torah equates between people who lend the ribit and people who kill. Mashofchei damim lo nidu l'chishavon. Af malvei ribit lo nidu l'chishavon. Just like killing is irretractable, once you kill someone, they cannot be returned to life. So the court can't impose on them that obligation to repay the money.
Where's the Hekesh?
In Yechezkel. The pasuk here, where Mojumat, the Yebo, it's a continuation of the pasuk we just read before, but Neshech Natan, Vetarbit, Lakach. This is the last three, that's the last part of that pasuk. So there, the Gemara is drawing the parallel. It says, Mojumat, the Mabbe Yeh, that's Shvichut Damin. Shvichut Damin, that juxtaposed in the pasuk, the Neshech Natarbit. Teaches you that there is a hekesh between them. Just like shofech damim, lo nitan leishavon, it cannot be, again, once one's killed, it can't be returned. So too over here, once the money's taken ribit, we can't obligate him to return it, courts can't enforce that or have jurisdiction over it. We're going to stop here because the limud for the other way around, my time with the Rabbi Lazar, really goes deep into tomorrow's daf, so we'll stop over here. Yeah.